Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Holy Father God, we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us beyond measure. We individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. We confess our bad hearts, our wicked hearts, our wicked thoughts and temptations, bad attitudes, bitterness, hatred, lying, living a lie, being a hypocrite, being a phony, being a fake, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit, all unrighteousness and all ungodliness of thought, word, and deed. Lord, you know what our sins are. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, help everyone to divulge their sins before your throne, confess their sins openly and honestly, and to understand that if they continue to try to hide their sins, they will not prosper in this world. So, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as we, from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all, afresh and anew this morning. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit and to walk right, to talk right, to act right, to love right, to do that which is pleasing in your sight. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace and your joy. Your joy unspeakable, your peace that passeth all understanding, both things that we cannot even begin to explain to other people. There's no beginning point. We just can't explain it. What we need to do is introduce people to you, Lord Jesus, and forgive us of our sins of not being the witnesses that we should be. Because we are preventing people from experiencing this inexplicable joy and peace. And however, we give you the glory and praise for it. And we pray that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us throughout this morning. Order our steps and indeed direct our ways. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. And Lord, we pray for the salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life blessings upon our family and all other Christian families. And we pray salvation blessings upon those families that don't know you as Savior. And in all churches we include in this, we pray for all of the people who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. We include in this prayer, Lord, those who have rededicated their lives to you through this ministry, those who have heard the gospel through this ministry, and all people who have sent in prayer requests through this ministry and to this ministry to pray for them. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would continue to have us to find favor, mercy, love, and grace in your sight through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cast all of our cares upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. And Holy Father God, those of us who are saved, crucify our flesh in a very real sense and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit and have us to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit throughout this day. And we will have victory. And Holy Father God, we pray that at the same time you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and pride and sabotage from those people who struggle with those issues, yet claim to be Christians. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Mitch A. Schultz said, family devotions bring the family together before God. There certainly are not many other times in the family experience where this happens. I want to repeat what he says in that last statement. When he says, there certainly are not many other times other than family devotions in the morning in the family experience where this happens. It certainly does not seem to happen naturally. Can somebody say amen? This does not come about naturally. Somebody in the family has to determine to do this. And I thank God for his mercy and grace that for some reason he led me to be the one to do it in my family over the past 30 years. And it has made all of the difference in the world. For the family to experience God together, he goes on, there must exist a time set apart where this can be done, where this can be experienced. Amen, somebody. Join me in praying what many call the common prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. Think about this prayer as you pray it. You will find it to be true. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. My God, help us. And there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent, according to thy promises declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. This is a passage that we have read in our family for 30 years. And I've already explained some reasons why for that. Please join us in reading the Word of God at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. If you want your family healed, if you want your family blessed, if you want peace and order in your family, you need to read these passages. that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So, gentlemen, if you love yourself, you'll love your wife. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It doesn't say this, but it also says the daughter, it also means that the daughter will leave her parents and be joined to her husband. And by the way, I'm old fashioned. I do not believe daughters ought to leave the home until they are leaving to get married. But that's another subject. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. For the children in the family, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then this passage is vital because you're going to have to face the devil today, and not just your wife and your husband and your children, but the devil. And so we read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Bend down, you've got to go over there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And the church said, Amen. Beloved, these are things that I have said and emphasized in our family devotions over the past 30 years that I want to share with you regarding the verses in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. along with many other things in our family devotions relating to husbands, wives, and children. God expects us to obey these words in our families, whether we feel like it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we want to do it or not. If you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, if you're claiming to be born again and God has blessed you to be in a family, God wants you to do your part in that family. That's if you want a happy family, a peaceful family, a blessed family, a family that is useful to the kingdom, and that is serving God for His glory, His praise, and His honor. The husband has to be what he's supposed to be. The father has to be what he's supposed to be. The wife has to be what she's supposed to be. And the mother has to be what she is supposed to be. And if the parents, if the husband and wife are not doing these verses, doing what God has commanded them to do, that's a serious, serious breach. That's a serious problem. And the outcomes will be terrible. So do what you're supposed to do according to the Word of God in your family first. Don't talk about how much you love the world and how much you want to win the world. The old folks who used to say charity begins at home were right. Don't talk about how much you love God and you don't love your wife, you don't love your children, amen somebody. You don't love your husband, you don't obey your husband, but you can obey everybody on the job. You don't obey your father, but when somebody starts paying you some money, you can obey them. God does not want you to act that way. These things, in the words of James, ought not so to be. Amen, somebody. So by the grace of God, we need to choose to obey God's word, whether we feel like it or not. Read with me our devotional passage from the Word of God, starting at Psalm 18:41. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. They shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people unto me. He delivereth me from mine enemies, yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Dr. David Guzik writes in his commentary, God's repeated deliverance made David love and honor the Lord more than ever. He gave praise to God for the great things he had done. He had truly delivered David from violent men, most notably the murderous Saul, who hunted him and who was jealous of him. David could say with confidence not only that God would give him deliverance, but also, more importantly, that God was his king. David knew this because he did all that he could to make sure that he did not seize or usurp the throne. But he let God give it to him in time. By the way, I met a Christian salesman the other day. I was so impressed with him. He said people try to steal his sales, people lie and cheat and connive. But he says, I'm a child of God. Whatever God wants me to have, I'll have it. Amen, somebody. I like that real good. And that is so true. If you're a child of God and you're walking with God and you are being obedient to God and you're praying to God without ceasing and you're being faithful to God and you're loving God back and you fear God and respect God and reverence God, whatever God has for you, you'll get it. Amen, somebody. David therefore had the blessed benefit of knowing that he was God's king and not one of his own making. You don't want what you don't want. You want to have what God wants you to have. And so that's a good point. At this time, beloved, join me in the hard work of praying for governmental leaders and others. By the way, if you don't like matcha green tea, I feel sorry for you. Get you some green tea, it'll help you. Be that as it may, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, this is the reason why we pray for governmental officials. It makes no difference if it's Bush, Obama, or Trump. Whether we voted for them or not is immaterial. Here's why we pray for our governmental leaders, whether we like them or not. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray for all governmental officials. And Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump. We pray for salvation, spiritual life blessings upon him and his family. We pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight for him, for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, who will be moving into the White House officially here in a few days, Second Lady Karen Pence, Presidential Aides, Senior Associate Counsel James Burnham, leaders of federal agencies, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, State Governors, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, City Mayors, Austin, Texas, Mayor Stephen Adler, U.S. Senators and Representatives, Idaho Senator Jim Risch, Police Chiefs, Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross Jr., all law enforcement officials, get the sheriffs up there as well in every county by name. And we pray for the leaders of nations around the world. We pray for Armenian President Serge Tsarjan and Prime Minister Karen Karapetyan. We commit these leaders into your hands, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct them, and turn their hearts as only you can, so that we can live peaceable lives everywhere. And Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership. We continue to pray for the leaders of the National Baptist Convention. We pray that you would use these churches to reach out to their communities, to see millions come to know your Savior. Just this denomination alone, you can use it, Lord, to turn this entire nation around. And we pray that you would. We pray that you would revive this church again. We pray for General Secretary Calvin McKinney, that you lead, guide, and direct him and all other leaders in leading this great denomination to the point of revival and evangelism and missionary work like they've never seen before around the world. We also pray, Holy Father God, for the sad current events around this world. We pray for the families of over 700 people who have died from cholera outbreak in Yemen. Over 100,000 who have been infected. Heal them, we pray. Comfort those families who have lost loved ones as only you can, and turn all of their hearts towards you, Lord Jesus. We pray for the families of three soldiers and three citizens killed in Afghanistan attacks, that you would comfort the wives and the children and the family members back home as they get the news. We pray for the families of over 600 people killed by Boko Haram suicide bombings in Nigeria. We pray that you would comfort these people as only you can, and Lord, motivate and move as you see fit the many agencies that can help people in situations like this. We pray for the Pope to make right decisions to help as many people as he can in some of these areas that he has influence. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. We pray for the provision of food and clean water to 20 million starving in South Sudan famine. Help them as only you can, and help us to help them. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for persecuted Christians around the world, particularly in that area, that you would comfort them, strengthen them, and provide for them and give them your grace in their difficult moments. Now, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for prayer requests that have come into us. We pray for Nicholas. Deliver him from depression, fear, doubt, anxiety, temptation to sexual sin. Help him to trust in you and resist temptation. Save his family and help him to be a witness to them. Holy Father God, we pray for Marie. Protect her and her son from demonic attacks and give them peace. We pray for Jyothi. Please heal her of her tumor without having to get an operation, and please protect her unborn baby. Please give her and her baby complete healing and good health. We pray for JTM. Please have the company he works for to pay him his salary. Bless him and his wife with the jobs you want them to have. Please save his wife, his bosses, and his co-workers. And Holy Father God, we pray for Eric. Please provide them with enough money so a boy in his church will be able to walk again. We pray that you'll work a divine miracle there. Holy Father God, we pray for Joseph. Please help him to do well in school and bless his graduation this year. We pray for Bruciana. Please strengthen and guide her in her prayer life. Bless her financially and meet the needs that she has. We pray for Subrat. Please bless and protect them. Provide them with education and money and give them the right house to live in. Please save them and help them to do right. And Lord, we pray for Roger. Please give him courage to share his faith, and please bless his book to be a blessing. And we pray for Dottie. Please give her grace, mercy, peace, clarity, and supernatural favor and blessings. Please take control of every situation that may trouble and burden her life. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And Holy Father God, we pray for people who have trusted you as Savior through the Gospelite Evangelistic Society Ministry and the Gospelite House of Prayer. We pray for Shinwe, Justice, Clifford, Demelis, Allen, and Jonas, Priyanka. We thank you for saving the souls of these people. Help these to grow in the faith and become the strong Christians you want them to be, and help us to be the disciplers of the disciples. We also pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus, through this ministry. Help these to stand strong and to stand firm. We pray for Judith, Maureen, Arinimum, Victoria, Rose, Mary, and Anika. And Lord, we commit these souls into your hands and our souls as well. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now for our devotional reading. Please join us for You Are Not an Accident, Part 1 from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. God has blessed me with many children, and so I have, instead of giving this book to them when they are 30 and 40, I read it to them myself in our devotional time together at least twice. And before they left home, so they will know what life is all about. No one can deny it's one of the greatest books ever written by a Christian for Christians. It is up there with Pilgrim's Progress, and probably will surpass it in years to come. Isaiah 44:2 says, I am your creator. By the way, a book is coming out today or tomorrow titled something along the lines of A Crack in Creation, or something along those lines. If you have not heard about it, you will hear about it. It's a very dangerous situation, what these people are doing. But God says, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Albert Einstein said, God doesn't play dice. You are not an accident. Your birth was no mistake or mishap, and your life is no fluke of nature. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. Amen, somebody. He was not at all surprised or shocked by your birth. In fact, he expected it. Long before you were conceived by your parents, you were conceived in the mind of God Almighty. He thought of you first. It is not fate, nor chance, nor luck, nor coincidence that you are breathing at this very moment. Pardon me. You are alive because God wanted to create you. You are alive because God wants you to be alive. Isn't that a blessing? The Bible says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. God prescribed every single detail of your body. He deliberately chose your race, the color of your skin, your hair, and every other feature. He custom made your body just the way he wanted it. He also determined the natural talents you would possess and the uniqueness of your personality. My God, my God. What a loving God we serve. Amen, somebody. The Bible says you know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. That's your God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for making us on purpose, creating us on purpose, for your glory, praise, and honor. Help us to fulfill that purpose today and throughout the remainder of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, and for his sake, amen. Before we leave you today, beloved, if you happened upon us on the internet highway and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that includes you, right there on the internet highway, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. What good news. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, to shed his blood on the cross for your sins, was buried, he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Savior of the world. And all you have to do is believe on him. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask him to save you. Confess him with your mouth and pray and ask him to save you, and he will save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer on the internet highway right now today. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, based upon the word of God, he will save your soul. So let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner deserving punishment in a place called hell. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. For I believe on you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.